On your...
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, praise the Lord. On this September the 5th, pre-Labor Day, Lord's Day morning, thankful to be saved, thankful to be in the house of God, thankful to be in the family of God. Well, I don't know how we can run out of thanks for the Lord. There's so many things to thank the Lord for.
Yes.
And we want to go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, to say that we belong to You. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price.
Yes, Lord.
What a terrible price You paid so that we could have the blessing to be children of God. Lord, I pray for Your blessings today upon Your children. Lord, we just discussed about Michelle, and I don't understand. I don't think no one does, but I know You do. I know You said You wouldn't put more upon us than what we could bear. And I know, Lord, that You'd come for us, Father, when it got to where we couldn't bear no more. And I pray for the family of Michelle. I put them in Your tender care, Lord. You're the good shepherd. You come to Your sheep. You care for Your sheep. And, Lord, You carry Your sheep when they can't go. Lord, what tender care, Lord, You've given us. We thank You for all You do for us. Pray, Lord God, You'd bless, Lord, this service today. Bless, Lord, this Sunday school lesson. Bless the preaching and the singing. May it all be to Your praise and glory. We ask for Your help. Confess, Lord, how unable and how unworthy we are, Lord, to stand behind this sacred desk. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I lost my glasses yesterday. Mowing the yard. And I got out there and got to walking around. I thought, well, I'll get on the golf cart. That'll take a bunch of steps out. So I got on the golf cart. I went everywhere where I thought they would have fell out of my pocket. I mean, they're just dollar. I mean, it ain't like I lost any great thing. But these fit my old square head pretty good. And I was needing them really to study, to read, and teach, and all of that. And anyway, I gave up. I put the golf cart back in the barn, started walking toward the house, looking there they were. I thank the Lord just later, Mary, just to show me I got to have His help to find anything, amen. But anyway, I did find my glasses. I'm thankful for that. I woke up this morning at 3 o'clock, but the old flesh kicked in, and I didn't get out of bed till 5 o'clock. That's still pretty early. I got a lot done. But after I got a lot done, got shaved, cut half my chin off and all of that, I asked my wife what she wanted for breakfast, and she said, I want fried bologna, biscuits with tomato. And I thought, that ain't no big deal. I can do that. I'm learning to cook a little bit. But anyway, I couldn't get them biscuits to brown. I kept looking. They wasn't browning. They wasn't browning. You know how it is when you're running behind, nothing just seemed like it can go fast enough. But I got here on time by the grace of God. I believe He girded up my loins here this morning and got me here kind of like He did Elijah ahead of Ahab in the chariot. Amen. We got here. One thing I was glad to see was that that sign was gone where you got to wait for it to turn to green before you can go. As soon as I seen that thing was gone, I knew I was going to make it then. All right, we're in Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. And I love this book. And this chapter here is really over my head. But we're gonna do our best with it. I looked over it. I have to admit, God don't help us. If God don't help us, we'll just have to read it and heed it. But Daniel here, he's just survived the lion's den. And the reason he survived that lion's den was because, verse 22 said, because innocency was found in me. He hadn't done anything to cause him to be thrown in the lion's den. He was set up. A lot of that going on today.
Yes.
Oh my. It's kind of sad how low people will stoop to undermine someone is trying, or someone that's even doing good. Now, I ain't going to get all political here this morning. But anyway, Daniel was innocent. Even though he got thrown in the lion's den, he had no hurt. They looked at him, and verse 23 said there wasn't no manner of hurt found upon him. And he believed in his God, and God was able to deliver him from the lions. He has survived that. Now, here we are in Daniel chapter 7. It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and the visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. And Daniel's always been the one to interpret dreams. But this dream here, it kind of got the best of him. And we'll get through this chapter, I hope. But in verse 15, the vision was made known to him. And we'll get to that here in a minute. But this dream here was of things yet to come. Isaiah 46:10 says the Lord declared the end from the beginning, things not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand and I will do all my pleasure. Paul, that used to be Saul till he ran into Jesus, he said, I will doubtless come to revelations. God reveals things to people.
Yes.
And Daniel here, he got a dream, and this dream revealed to him what we're seeing today. A lot of this that it's in this chapter, we've actually seen ourselves in our lifetime. And verse 2, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. You ever wonder where that word diversity came from? I mean, we're really pushing it today. You got to be diverse today. You got to be tolerant today. You got to make exceptions today. Anything to sidestep what thus saith the Word of God. Our message today, I'm actually looking forward to preaching it. It's a good message for the hour we're living in. We do need to return to this Word.
Yeah.
We do need to get in the will of God. And I'm telling you, buddy, it's top priority. But Daniel saw four winds of heaven striving upon the great sea. Yeah, I've, in this lesson today, I've done a lot of research. I'll bring these out again in the preaching today. But in Job 26 verse 4, it says that God hangeth the earth on nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
Not only does He hang it on nothing, but it's at a 23 degree angle. It rotates at 1,040 miles per hour.
Wow.
The moon rotates around the earth every 28 days. The earth rotates around the sun. By the way, the sun is the center of the universe. The sun, the earth rotates around the sun every 365 days. And that makes a calendar year. And the moon rotating around the earth makes a calendar month. Two-thirds of this earth is water. Two-thirds of me is water. It's true. The Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean do not mix.
No, they
don't. You know why they don't? One's salt water, mm-hmm, and the other's fresh water. You can do this yourself. You can take you a glass of water, make it salt water, and then pour fresh water on top of it, and it'll separate. And anyway, the Titanic's grave is at 12,500 feet deep. The deepest place in the ocean is in the Pacific Ocean, and it's 35,797 feet deep in that place right there. But anyway, these four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now these things are picturistic. The first beast is the world empire of King Nebuchadnezzar, which is mentioned in Daniel chapter 2. And it says the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. Now, that pictures the kingdom and reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. And then he said, verse 5, behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear. And it raised itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. That's the world empire of the Media Persians. That's mentioned also in Daniel chapter 2. After this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings as a fowl, and the beast had also four wings, and dominion was given unto it. This pictures the world empire of Greece under Alexander the Great. And in verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And that represents the Roman world empire. All these things in this vision that Daniel saw in his day, you know, God was showing him what's coming on the calendar of God. Verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, let me see if I can bring some of this a little better here. The vision is of the end of the Gentile world dominion, the former Roman Empire, the Iron Kingdom, mentioned in Daniel chapter 2, will have 10 horns corresponding to the 10 toes of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar saw. And Daniel considers this vision of the 10 kings, then rises up among them a little horn, who subdues 3 of the 10 kings so completely that the separate identity of their kingdom is destroyed. 7 kings of the 10 are left, and the little horn, he is a king of fierce countenance, typified by the other king of fierce countenance. May not be able to say this. Anacharsis Epiphanes, Daniel chapter 8, which we haven't got to yet. The prince that shall come of Daniel 9, the king of Daniel 11, the abomination of Daniel 12, also mentioned Matthew 24, which is the man of sin, and the beast mentioned in Daniel chapter 7. This scene just kind of pictures the events that God has already ordered for the world. Now, I'm in the church age, I'm in the age of grace, and I'm glad I am. I don't want to be under none of these kings, I'll just tell you right now. But Daniel saw all of this. And verse 9, he said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. Now Daniel right here, he's seeing the great white throne judgment. I'll get to that here in just a second. But just remember where Daniel is. He's way back on her. He's seeing something that he can't understand, and he's going to need some help understanding it. Now this next verse, verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, thousands ministered unto him, and ten thousand times ten thousand stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. Now, you find that same thing mentioned in Revelation chapter 20.
Right.
And,
you know, Brother Eddie, can I say something?
Yeah.
Great White Trump? You know, I've read Revelations, I don't know how many times, and I always thought that Great White Throne Judgment was for us that are saved. But see, I always thought this, okay, the way I read it, I always thought it was for us that were saved and things that we did that was not pleasing to God after we were saved, okay?
Yeah.
Plus, those that never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I thought it was for two different types, but it's not. It's only for those
they're rejected.
That rejected Jesus.
See, I done been judged. I was guilty. I confess I was guilty.
I did too.
I done been judged.
But the way that I read it years ago when I first got saved, I thought all this time that it was for two different kinds of people, but it's not.
Right.
And I just learned this last Wednesday night. A preacher up in Indiana's teaching on Revelations. And I've been through Revelations before. I've got all the bookwork on Revelations at home. And I've been through it before, but I always believed that way. I don't know why I did, but you know what? I need to believe the way God says it is, not the way I think it is.
I'm not going to get what I deserve. I'm going to get what I don't deserve. Amen.
That's it.
But if God hadn't appointed us to wrath, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, and this judgment is not going to be a pleasant thing, but to obtain salvation by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But in Revelation chapter 20, here's what Daniel's seeing.
Yes.
Verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in a lake of fire. Now that's the dream of Daniel revealed right there. Right. But here's what Daniel is seeing. He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Their dominions are done. Their kingdoms are finished. And the Ancient of Days did sit. This is talking about Jesus sitting, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head, you can find this in Revelation chapter 1, was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. I guess that'd be the lake of fire. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were opened, and I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. And Daniel saw this in a vision, and God reveals it in greater detail there in Revelation chapter 20. It talks about the devil being cast into the lake of fire. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, I started verse 11 a while ago. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Daniel saw that. And he said, verse 12, as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Now, like I said, they go together, but you can get better insight, or it's clearer to me in Revelation chapter 20. Verse 13, Daniel says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is as an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, in his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That's the millennial reign, where Christ is going to rule for 1,000 years upon the throne of his father David. It's mentioned right there in them two verses right there. And there'll be 1,000 years of peace there. Verse 15, and I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I have to admit, buddy, thank God for a Bible that shows us that we don't have to be troubled. Jesus said, you believe in God, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And praise God, I did believe in Him. Amen. I gave it all to Him. Amen. I gave Him all my sins. I gave Him all my sorrows. I cast my care upon Him because He cares for me. But Daniel was grieved. And verse 16, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. You know, I'm glad, praise God, that we can get the truth. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said in His priestly prayer in John 17, verse 17, Thy word is truth. Now people are going to try to give you something other than the truth, and that's why you need to resist that, and you need to draw nigh to this. You might not understand it, but you need to pray over it, stay with it. The Bible says to us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man should teach you, but the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it have taught you, you shall abide in Him. Now, we've got help. The Bible said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, giveth all men liberally. I remember one time, I hadn't been saved very long at all, and I took the task or the undertaking of reading my Bible through. And, old Brother Eddie, I'm on my 18th time now. But, okay, back then, I wasn't in my 18th time. I was just a babe in Christ. And I would read something, and I have to admit, I didn't even get any really understanding from it at all. And I knelt down there one day, and just innocent, childlike faith, I just said, Lord, this is Your Word. And Lord, I'm Your son. And I said, Lord, would You open Your words to me? Would You make Your words known to me for my sake and for the sake of others that I meet in this life? And the most amazing thing happened. The light came on. And everybody kept saying, you've been called to preach. You've been called to preach. You've been called to preach. I heard that for 4 years, Sharon. I mean, I want to get a baseball bat. And I'm trying to really not let that... Yeah. I was trying to not let that belittle me, and I got frustrated one day, and I said, I'll tell you what. You let God call me, and I will. That's a big mistake for one thing. I wouldn't wish preaching upon anyone. It's almost like being a prisoner. Paul said, behold, the prisoner of the Lord. And I do want to do it willingly. Don't get me wrong. He did count me faithful, put me in the ministry. I understand all of that. But, you know, my stand was, you let God call me and I will. Amen. My dad left my mother for another woman, and I was the only child. And we're talking like I'm 34 years old. And, you know, they've been married probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 years. When he left mom for another woman, I was there the day he left my mom. I walked in and mama was begging my father not to leave her. And Sharon, my mom done something that even I wouldn't do. She said, if you want that woman, you can have her. Just don't leave me for her. I'd have hit him over the head with a brick. But anyway, she loved my dad. She did. I observed it with my own eyes. She worshipped him. I mean, she cooked. She cleaned. She bragged on him. If ever was a spoiled husband, my father was a spoiled husband. But anyway, he left mom. I stayed there with her. And come down, he asked me to help get his stuff out of the house. I went to mama and I said, mama, daddy's asked me to help him get his things out of the house. Me and daddy built that house. She said, you go ahead, it'll be all right. You help your dad. And I didn't really want to do this, but I packed his things out of the house, put them on the trailer. We drove up to this apartment. It was an upstairs apartment that daddy was going to rent. It's amazing what a man will do rather than do right. And he wasn't right in this. But anyway, he's my father, and I tried my best to love him, make the best of it. But Dad unlocked that door, and this woman showed up. And Dad left me there. He said, I'll be right back. And I walked in that empty room with nobody around that I thought. And in that empty room and in the stillness of that empty room, God called me to preach right there in that empty room. And I remember when he done it, I remember looking up saying, Lord, are you sure? The Bible does say make your call and election sure. And I announced my call, it was on a Monday. I announced my call to preach on a Wednesday night. And I have to admit, me and the devil got on a first name basis immediately. I stood up on a Wednesday night at Bethel Baptist Church and I said, I want to announce that God's called me to preach and I need your prayers. And I sat down. The devil immediately said, is that right? And there is a real devil down here. But anyway, thank God we got a Bible. Thank God we got the truth. And we need to abide in the truth. I wish I could make that emphasis like it needs to be. We need to abide in the truth. Don't follow lies. Don't be swallowed up with propaganda. Daniel, He said, I came near unto one of them, verse 16, that stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. You know, if you need to ask me, if you need to ask Brother Ed or anybody else, don't drag your feet. Seek, the Bible said, and you'll find. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. Daniel, he came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me known the interpretation of the thing. Now Daniel's always been the one to give the interpretation. But if you'll notice here, he's asking someone for the interpretation. I mean, he's just amazed or astounded by this vision. And it's a scene that he had never seen before. And he wants some help in the interpretation. And so he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Verse 17, he said, these great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth, which we mentioned a while ago. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. God has given us a kingdom that shall not perish. Now, we see things come and go. Michelle loved her. Loved to hear her testify.
Yes.
Sit right behind me. And you heard her testify too, Kay. And you know, love the Lord. I mean, a lot of people just recently got saved because of her efforts. They brought a girl in that, be honest with you, was in shambles, life speaking. Her life was in disarray. Her hair was green. I could tell she didn't feel comfortable, but they brought her with her. She got saved. She brought her brother with her. He got saved. They brought three or four more with them, and they got saved. But I'll tell you right now, that went on Michelle's account.
Amen.
You see, you just don't ever know.
That's right.
What God can do till you put forth the effort. I probably will be the first to confess I was in doubt of anything good coming out of all that. And now I shout and praise God for what I've seen and know that come forth from that effort. Amen.
Amen. Brother Eddie, can I say something?
Yeah. Oh, I welcome that.
I know that Michelle died of COVID. When was it? 2 nights ago?
26. Her funeral is going to be Tuesday,
yeah.
And her burial, I believe, is going to be Wednesday. I believe that's right. And like I said, Hebrews chapter 13 says, down here we have no continuing city. It's not like we're going to live forever here, and thank God we're not. I've had it up to here with down here.
Yeah, Lord.
Amen. I'm glad, praise God, there is another place. But in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14, it says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And hallelujah.
Amen.
Now when the Lord comes back, Michelle will be with him. She'll get there before I do. I'm jealous already. But we receive the kingdom through Jesus Christ. That's an everlasting kingdom. And we're going to preach about that a little bit today. Forever, even forever, if ever, I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Amen.
Amen.
All the stuff down here we see is just for now. It's not going to be forever.
Yes.
I'm glad I got a piece of forever.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I didn't see none of that on eBay.
Oh,
but praise God, I found some of that in here. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad I got some of the forever, amen.
Amen.
Verse 19, then I would know the truth. That's our goal right here, and that's Daniel's goal. He wants to know the truth. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamp the residue with his feet. That sounds kind of scary. But I'm glad, praise God, I'm not alone.
That's right.
I've got one standing by me. He's able to handle this fella.
That's right.
I've got one brother Ed said, never leave me, never forsake me.
Amen.
He said, Lord, I'm with you always, even in the world. Listen. I'd be scared right now if I didn't have Jesus beside
Amen.
Me.
That's right.
But since I do have him beside me, the Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. I don't fear nothing. As long as I got him. You know, when I was with my mom and my dad, I didn't fear anything. It's when I wasn't around that I was worried. Amen. But I'm with my Heavenly Father now and His Son Jesus, and I'm not afraid. And you know, there's some fearful things coming upon this world, and they're coming fast.
Yes, Lord.
And they're so fearful that the Bible said men's hearts are going to fail for fear and for looking on those things that are coming. That was kind of a far-fetched for how this world to see people holding on to the outside of a plane knowing they can't. But they held on to it as long as they could, and as they fell out of the sky, I'm sitting there thinking, God's got a better plan. I'm not going to be one of those holding on to a plane. I'm going to be one holding on to that nail-scarred hand. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just telling you right now, I'm in good hands. Amen. Hallelujah. They didn't have nothing to hold on to is what I'm trying to say. Verse 20, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth, that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. They were like, let's see what it says over here. Who can something the beast? I can't remember the exact word now. Who can stand before the beast or something like that? Hold on a second here.
Right.
I mean, this beast is going to be pretty fearful.
Mm-hmm.
in Revelation chapter 17, it mentions those 10 horns. And this beast here, let me see if I can find the exact verse I'm looking for. It's a fearful thing, this beast here is. And it talks about who could stand before it. Who's able to make war against this beast? I'm in Revelation chapter 19. And, this beast is going to be something that the world's not going to be able to handle. They can handle a lot of things. Nuclear ain't going to have an effect on him. And all these superior weapons that they possess. He says, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and the armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. That's not the place I'm looking for. That's the Lord taking care of the beast. Amen. What I'm talking about is where they can't handle him. They can't resist him. Let's see if I can find that real quick. Here you go. Revelation 13. I know it'd be a 13. This beast, another beast coming up out of the earth, had two horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon. He exercised, maybe verse 12 of Revelation chapter 13, he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceiveth them that dwell in the earth. I'm glad I ain't going to be here during that time. Man, I'll tell you right now, it's not going to be a pleasant time to be in the earth. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many. Oh, by the way, they're making an image right now. I think it's 10 stories tall or something like that. It's going to be able to speak. 21 cities. You know, I should have looked all this up. I listened to radio and it's talking about this just happened. It's going to be like a digital image, and if they wanted to, they could put Laura's face on it and she'd be able to speak through this technology they're doing. But it's going to be 10 stories high and it's going to speak. And I think it's just kind of like laying the groundwork for us getting ready to get out of here myself. But you can find it on the internet. Do a Google search on the great beast or a great giant that they're putting together. Like I said, it's digital. But and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast. That's where that guy brought this in. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark and the name of the beast, the number of his name. And you know, just a lot of things that are coming. I never did find that one I was looking for. Nobody's able to make war with the beast, the one I was looking for. And it's not going to be pleasant. I'm glad I ain't going to be here. Hallelujah.
Brother Eddie.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've actually deep studied Revelation. Does the beast get his power from the Antichrist?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Antichrist will give him power. It's kind of like the false trinity.
Right.
You got the false prophet, and you got the beast and the Antichrist. And like I said, one thing I'm glad about, I'm glad I ain't going to be here. Amen. Hallelujah. But he said that a horn had eyes and a mouth. That digital thing I'm talking about, it'll have eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. That's not this saint. This is tribulation saints. Now the saints on this side of the tribulation, we're gone. Revelation chapter 4, gone. Everything you read after Revelation chapter 4, hallelujah. Especially the bad things. Now I might get on the good part starting about Revelation chapter 21-22. But all the bad, praise God, God delivered me from,
yep,
when He saved my soul. And you know what? He sealed me with the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. Wrote my name in His book. Put my sins under His blood. Gonna come get me. You know, I'm all the time buying stuff, get the yak and forget it, leave it laying there. And you know what I do when I get home, Eric? I go back and get it. Because it's mine. I paid for it. And you know what? He paid for me. He's coming back for what's His. Amen. But until, like I said, there is going to be war with the saints, and it's tribulation saints. Jesus said that they need to pray that their flight be not in winter. They're going to literally be running for their lives. Woe to them to give suck in those days. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, the time that came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And He said the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall divide the whole earth, and shall dread it down and break it into pieces. You're going to get on board. I'm glad I ain't going to be here. I'm allergic to pain anyway. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. Someone mentioned it. This is talking about the UN. I don't know. But there are some countries that are in allegiance in certain matters. It may be, I don't know. The 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think, you know, devil, he ain't very smart anyway, but he thinks that he's going to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. For 3.5 years, the devil is going to be in control.
Yeah.
And but in the next 3.5 years, he's going to be in woe. Right. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom of the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, I hope I get this word right, my congregations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. That's a terrible chapter right there. But let me say this. God has something better in mind for us.
Yeah.
And you can find this mentioned in Hebrews here. And there's a lot of suffering in the book of Hebrews. Mm-hmm. And it talks about in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, that he said, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant, in fight turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens of caves and of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now listen to this last verse here, verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us. I'll take the better any day of the week. Mm-hmm. That they without us should not be made perfect. He made me perfect. He made the captain of my salvation perfect through suffering. Now, if I can find fault in Jesus, then I do have something to worry about. But praise God, He was without fault. And since he wasn't without, since he was without fault, he's going to present me without fault in his presence with exceeding joy. But God provided some better thing. I'll take grace any day of the week.
That's right.
Man, oh man, oh man. Thank God for the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we'll stop right there. And like I said, God's got this. It's not like this is going to take him by surprise. It's not like God's on nerve pills or nothing like that. We're just fulfilling the Word of God. We're just watching the calendar of God come to be. Now, Father, we thank you for this lesson today. Lord, it was over my head, out of my reach. But I pray, God, something today, Lord, may have helped someone. May have helped us, Lord, to open our eyes, Lord, to the great picture, Lord, of your great Word. Lord, of your great will and your great work. Help us, Lord, I pray, to draw closer to you, to stay nigh to you, Lord. For we see, Lord, the trouble coming. I see it, Lord, on every hand. I see, Lord, the great falling away. I see the love of many waxing cold. I see, Lord, the rebellion that's in this world. I see it ripe for the Antichrist to show up and bring peace. But it's not going to be a real peace. Thank you for bringing peace to me. And that peace you gave me, Lord, passes all understanding. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
You said you don't like pain. You ought to be